Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, the final chapter of that beautiful book, is what we read this morning. Hebrews, of course, is the book that, in the canon of Scripture, sets forth the absolute supremacy of Jesus Christ over all things and persons. And towards the end of the book, we find various applications. The Life of Faith, chapter 11, all the examples of the heroes of faith in the life of faith. Chapter 12, we heard a sermon in the early part of the chapter where we are exhorted to run the race of the Christian life last year in connection with adult baptism, a joyful occasion. And in chapter 13, the concluding chapter, we find various exhortations to life and living, the life of faith in light of the supremacy of Jesus Christ. We read the entire chapter. The text for the sermon this morning is verse 8. This is God's inspired word. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burnt without the camp, that is, outside the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you, the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that have brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. The text is verse 8. I'll read that verse one more time. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. May the Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. Beloved congregation, I call your attention to that text this morning under the theme, Jesus Christ, our unchanging Savior in a changing world. We begin this morning with our changing world, then secondly, our unchanging Savior, and conclude with our sure and steadfast hope. If there is anything constant about the world that we live in, it is this. It is that it is always changing. We live in an ever-changing world. That's a fact. That never changes. And so as we begin a new year together as a church family, we also face a new year that will bring change to us. Why? Why change? What are some reasons that we can expect change? Three this morning. Reason number one, man's knowledge and understanding of things continues to change and develop. That first. And so, there are and will continue to be advancements in medicine, in science, in technology. There continues, therefore, to be less invasive medical procedures promoting quicker healing. There continues to be improvement in medications and in treating illnesses and diseases. And there also continues to be more powerful internet and information services. We live in an information age. There will continue to be advancements in information on the internet. There will continue to be more powerful networks, more ways to store data, more advanced computing and communication equipment and devices. Smaller and smaller and more powerful and powerful. That's the first reason. Man's knowledge and understanding of things changes and develops. Second reason for change, this. Sin is constantly developing and working itself out in the world that we live in. And so we will continue to see changes in ethics and ethical practices and even ethical teachings, as well as morality. Morality of mankind and changes for the worse. Beloved congregation, do we not see increasing moral decay in the world all around us in our life and living? Think of this in several fronts. Think of businesses and factories that are open on Sundays. Some of us here, and I know it will sound strange to many of us here, but some of us here will remember a time when this state had more conservative laws with regard to businesses operating on Sundays. Fact is that there were many, many workplaces that were closed, not open for business and work on Sundays. That, of course, is a long and distant memory, a remote thing of the remote past. Compared to now, our day in the year 2023, so that it's now really quite something that a very popular national restaurant chain, and I'm not doing an ad here, that a very popular national restaurant chain becomes well known, less so for its delicious menu items, but more so for the fact that it is closed on Sundays. That first, on that front, Sabbath keeping. On another front, of course, we have the subject of murder and the murder of unborn children in this country still happening. There was a time, of course, when abortion was frowned upon and outlawed in this nation, through and through, prior to Roe v. Wade in the 1970s. And majority, I was told anyway, by people who live here, I didn't grow up here, majority opinion in this country was that this was an unlawful act. It was frowned upon by the nation. And where are we at today? Where we're at today, even with the Supreme Court's recent surprising decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, and the nation's attitude and actions in relation to that, even if not surprising, is and must be a great, great disappointment for us all. For anyone who believes and cherishes the Word of God and therefore cares for the values that are inscribed in God's timeless Word. That's murder and abortion. You'll hear a sermon on murder, Lord willing, this evening. Nor are things any better when it comes to the subject of that's closely related to children, that of marriages, the state of marriages in this country. Marriages that are truly happy and last 10 years, 8 years, 7 years, 5 years, that too, are becoming more and more a rare thing. And beloved, the cases of abuse in marriage, ugly, ugly cases found within our churches, are but a clear indication of a broader, uglier problem that's out there in the world and in the nation today with regard to the state of marriage in our nation. And how is this, the state of marriage, going to improve in our land, in our day, with the increasing influence of the LGBT movement? Not only in regard to the change of laws in the state and in the nation, but also in the public education of our nation's children. Sin and the development of sin is one, a second reason for change in our changing world. But there is more. There is a third and very important and final reason for change, and it is this: that we are fast approaching
the end of the ages. We need to be very conscious of that, beloved, in all our life and living, particularly in the raising up of our children. We live at a time that's fast approaching the end of all things. And this, beloved, contributes to the changes that we have already laid out earlier in morality and ethics. Pointedly, the book of 1 Thessalonians in the Bible is that book which connects decay in morality, or aka lawlessness, with the approach of that man of lawlessness, the Antichrist himself. That's the age that we live in. But besides that, in connection with that, there are and will also continue to be changes in world history. History is being made also in the year, going to be made in the year 2023. Changes then in regard to wars and financial instability. We have gone to another new year, but that major war in Ukraine continues to take place with no signs of it letting up. It continues to rage. And who knows what other wars will take place in the year 2023. The invasion of Taiwan is still a distinct possibility. And who knows what more financial pain and bad economic news we are going to face in the new year lying ahead. Yes, there will also be changes in nature. Natural disasters will be, in general now, more severe and more frequent. And yes, there will be all of this, with all of this, there will be changes in the church, in the world too. More and more we will see the advancement and spread of the gospel to the nations. That is indeed taking place with much foreign mission work being done by the faithful churches even in our day. That's advancement in that area. The gospel spreads. But with that also, there will be more and more apostasy in the church. More people falling away, and the love of many, many more waxing cold. There will be more hatred, and therefore there will be more persecution in the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. In other words, those four horses of Revelation chapter 6, which we considered a year ago, will be riding and galloping harder and more quickly, even in the year ahead. And so, beloved, that is the changing world we live in at large, and some of the changes we will face at large in the new year ahead. But closer to home, we may also expect change in our own sphere of life. Changes in health, changes to family life, changes with regard to our children, our grandchildren, changes among our circle of friends, beyond family, extended family, changes at school. Children, are you listening? Yes, changes at school too in the year ahead, and changes at work. And of course, the deepest reason for all these changes is sin. Sin. We live in a broken, decaying world. So very many changes are taking place because of sin. Truth it is that change takes place and sin is developing more quickly as we approach the end of the ages. And so, taking a step back now to all this change swirling all around us, as we live in the midst of this world with all this change, we might wonder, how are we going to face it all? We're like a little boat that's out there in the open sea, with all those waves and tides and currents coming at us, rocking the boat, tossing it to and fro. And so we ask ourselves, how are we, like that little boat, in the wide open sea, facing all those currents and tides, how are we going to face all these things? How are we going to stay safe and secure? How are we going to be secure and unmovable in the midst of change? How? The answer becomes clear to us when we think of the book of Hebrews, doesn't it? If you know the book of Hebrews, then the answer is plain and clear. But to be very plain and clear, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6. I call your attention to Hebrews chapter 6, a beautiful book of the Bible. And towards the end of chapter 6, I call your attention to the verses 17 through 20, particularly those final two verses, 19 and 20. This is what we read in Hebrews 6. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness, that's that word there, of His counsel, His plan, confirmed it by an oath, that by, verse 18, two immutable, that's that word unchanging again, immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that never changes, God never lies, there's no shadow of darkness in God, we might have a strong consolation, another word for comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Hope now. Verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. May the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's Jesus who will keep us safe and secure and unmovable in the midst of all change, that supremely exalted high priest that is exalted in the heavens, our merciful, faithful, compassionate, all-powerful high priest, that one is the anchor of our souls. He is so in the midst of the stormy sea of the changing world we live in. That's our beautiful, glorious Jesus, set forth by the inspired writer of Hebrews. And here in the text we consider this morning, Jesus Christ is that one who is the same, who is immutable, the same, unchanging, yesterday, today, and forever. Beloved congregation, behold your Savior as unveiled in the text before us. He is Jesus. That is to say, He is Jehovah salvation. He's the very embodiment of our salvation from God. He is God's gracious Savior, whom He provides for us, that Savior from sin and death, also from all fear. This is the one who is pleased to save us. Not make salvation possible. Pleased to save us. And save us in and along the way of our earthly pilgrimage to heaven. Not out of it, not escape it, but in the midst of and in our pilgrimage, in this changing world, this broken world that you and I live in. John chapter 17 is where you can reference that teaching. That being the case, beloved, cling to, embrace, and trust no other one as your Savior than this, Jesus. Jesus, for this Jesus, is the Christ. The Jews think not, the Jews reject Him. The Jews are still looking for the Messiah, that is the unbelieving Jews. But Jesus is the Christ. That too is the one outstanding message in the book of Hebrews. He is Christ. He is the anointed one of God. He is the servant of Jehovah. Isaiah chapter 42 verse 1. He is the one who ministers to us as our Savior in that threefold office that's given to Him. Prophet, priest, and outstandingly so in the book of Hebrews, prophet, priest, and king. Let's begin with the last one. As our King, He rules. And He rules in our mind and heart by His Spirit and Word. By grace, so that we who one day will rule together with Him in heaven above live as royal sons and daughters of His more and more in this life. And serve Him as good Christian soldiers, having on the whole armor of God set forth in Ephesians 6. Being active, diligent, fighting the good fight of faith against His and our enemies. And one way, one important way in which He ministers to us as King is through our elders. Elders in this local church, KPRC. A word then to our elders this morning in this connection. You elders, therefore, have a very, very weighty office. Christ is pleased to rule this congregation through you. He's pleased to do that through you. You, that's right. And I am sure you feel inadequate, very much so inadequate, for the office and for the work of the office you are called to. Just as I feel inadequate in mine as minister, preacher, pastor of this church. But remember, He who called you is faithful and unchangingly so. So He is going to equip you. He has equipped you thus far, but He is going to equip you more and more. Also in the year ahead, in the entire term of service that you have, equip you for all the tasks. Who knows what those tasks will be? Exactly. He will equip you for all those tasks lying ahead of you. The ordinary, so-called ordinary tasks. The more mundane ones, the routine ones. But also the more extraordinary ones. the tricky ones, the ones that require discretion, careful consideration, since we are dealing with people, God's people. Discretion, wisdom, humility, and yes, also compassion. All the traits and virtues of Christ, our Lord, our King. He will give you the wisdom. He will give you the humility. He will give you the words to speak when you feel you have no words to bring, no words to say. He will give you above all the love you need for Him and for the flock to motivate you for the work of your office. A word now to the congregation in relation to your elders. Hebrews chapter 13, beloved, is not silent concerning exhortation to you. And in particular, there are two verses in Hebrews 13 which speak to your God-given obligation to your elders. Number one, verse 7. Remember, says God's word, remember them, constantly keep them in mind. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, imitate. So they are called to imitate God and you to be imitators of them. They are called to be good examples. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That means, of course, your elders have the weighty calling to be examples to you, good examples of godliness, humility, and love before the people, and that you have the calling to imitate them, to remember their example, and yes, also to remember them in prayer. For they are just like you, of like passion as you. And then verse 17, 10 verses later in Hebrews 13. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, so that they must give account, elders must give account, their office is very weighty, that they may do it with joy, joy, not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Those words, those very words explain themselves. Obey them. Submit yourself to them, recognizing that they have to give account first of their rule over you. That's King. But as our high priest, Christ works in our hearts to consecrate our hearts to Him, to consecrate, devote, dedicate us to Him, ministering also the mercies of God to us. And one way, one important way in which He ministers to us as priests is through the office of deacon, our deacons in their ministry of mercy. A word now to our deacons in this connection. In order to be effective instruments in His hand of the mercies of Christ, the high priest, your hearts need to be devoted to Him. Your hearts first, you in your heart, consecrated to Him. And in that way will you be consecrated in your service to the people. Be renewed in that. Daily give yourself to Him. Consciously, intentionally, give yourself to Him anew each day. In that way, you will have a heart for God's people. A heart of love. That's so important. To care for them. to watch out for them, to understand that the work that you do sometimes seems so mundane and ordinary, is care for them. A watching out for them, for their good. Even to find them who are needy, as we read in the form. And usually these are the ones who are consistently behind in their giving, or lacking in their giving. As you know, as you count the offerings, lacking in their giving, behind in their giving, by a clear objective standard. What standard? Especially in the general fund, the standard of the budgeted amount per family or per individual in the church. Be ready to meet, to find these who are needy, and be ready to minister to them, not only in earthly terms, financially, but especially spiritually, from the heart, by His Spirit, with His Word. A word then to the congregation in relation to your deacons, beloved, receive them and help them. Your elders need help too, but receive them and help them and support them in their ministry by your giving. Your committed, your faithful, your responsible, and yes, even generous giving where possible. And receive them as you would receive Christ, your own High Priest. And pray. Pray for them. And if you truly have need for diaconal help, make their job as easy as you can by approaching them for help as much as lies in you. King, priest, prophet. As our prophet, Christ Himself makes known His word, the word and will of God to us by His Spirit, teaching us so that our faith is built up, made stronger and not weaker along our earthly pilgrimage. And one important way in which He does that is through your minister, your preacher. Receive Him and His ministry, and help Him too. He too is conscious that he is a weak, sinful, earthen vessel. Pray that he be useful and ready for use. Pray for him. Pray much for him, that he stands and not falls in his ministry. He and your office bearers stand in the very front lines of battle. Pray for his strength to be renewed each day for the work of the ministry. There is no term of service for the preacher. He labors throughout his ministry. And support him. Support him in his work and ministry. Support him by your giving, your faithful giving. Support him in your prayers. Support him in your conversation as much as possible to be of encouragement to him. And encourage him in the ministry above all by paying attention to the word that He brings to you on this pulpit, in the catechism classroom, children, at Bible study, but also privately, personally to you in your homes and families, or as He visits you, calls you, and speaks to you. For His faithful instruction is not His per se at bottom. It is the instruction of none other than Jesus Christ, our unchanging Savior. Your Savior and His, our Savior. He's unchanging as our Savior. He has been our Savior from all eternity. That blows our minds just to think of that. And He is our Savior today. He'll be our Savior in this brand new year and always unto eternity. So, beloved, this word that we consider this morning gives us wonderful assurance of the fact that He will always be with us and He will never let us go. Not even in the darkest hours. Not even when we feel lost in the situation that we are in. Don't know what to say. Don't know what to think. Not even when our faith is so very dim. He'll be there for us as our Savior to lift us up. Also in the brand new year ahead. He'll always be at work, beloved, in our hearts and lives. As our prophet constantly teaching us, as our priest, working in our hearts to devote ourselves to Him, even interceding for us in heaven, to purify our weak prayers, and as our King, ruling us and giving us the power, more power, to live as royal sons and daughters of His, as good Christian soldiers and servants, in the midst of this broken, decaying world. He sits at God's right hand. He is passed into the heavens, this one, this high priest, so that all changes in the world all around us, all the waves and the tides and the currents that come our way are for our good. Exactly the height, exactly the intensity, exactly the timing, they are for our good, to mold and to fashion us more and more into His lovely image, and in that way prepare us to take up that most glorified, exalted place with Him in heaven. What a comfort this is for us. For here we have no continuing city. These truths then imply other comforting truths. His purpose in all things for us never changes. His control, He never loses control. His control and His direction of all things in this world happening to us never changes. And why not? Because His love and mercy toward us never changes. And so that gives us, that gives you and I a sure and steadfast hope. Jesus, who is the same unchanging Savior through all times, is our steadfast hope. So, cling to Jesus. Cling to Jesus by a true and living faith. Day by day, every day in the year ahead, with all the changes that it brings. And keep in mind too, what He has been for us yesterday. That word yesterday in the text. Even in the past year, as you look back to 2022 with a fresh memory of what happened, as your faithful Savior, as you look back in the past year, beloved, has He not been your able help? Has He not been your safe refuge? Has He not been your source of almighty strength in relation to every event that has occurred in your life? The pleasant as well as the not so pleasant, the happy as well as the sad. And also in the so-so things that keep happening in our lives. He was your sure and steadfast hope. He was the anchor for your soul last year. And He will remain so this year because He is your unchanging Savior. It is in this way that we will be able to face today and tomorrow. One day. That's right, one day at a time. And face it with a blessed assurance and hope, renewed hope in our hearts. No matter what the new year may bring to us, we have this unchanging Savior as our sure and steadfast hope. That one who is all-powerful, that one who is absolutely sovereign, that one who is supremely exalted, who is merciful, faithful, compassionate. That one who loves us with a great unchanging love demonstrated at Calvary, who has been on our side. That one will also continue to be on our side in the year ahead. Yea, forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless this word. Give to us lively faith to receive it. And cause that word sink into our heart, our mind, and our soul. So that we walk the face of this earth and walk in the new year ahead. Without fear, but with hope, with peace, with comfort, with joy. Yea, with Thy love, Thy great love for us in Him. Hear our prayer. Forgive our sins for His sake.